So, when Grant is ready, then we are ready.
All right. Okay.
Okay. Considering that we all know each other, I guess there's no need for preparatory remarks, so welcome,
yeah.
Wendy.
Yeah, welcome to our viewers. Today, our special guest is Wendy Higgins.
Higdon.
Wendy Higdon. And Wendy is running for the Kentucky State Senate in Louisville, District 37. Mm-hmm. And we invited she is a Libertarian, the only third party candidate in this race. It's a special election to be held on December 16th, 2025. The other two candidates are Republican Calvin Leach, who was invited, didn't show up, and Democrat Gary Clemens, who was invited to participate with us and did not appear. So we're going to be talking with Wendy.
Yeah, and I'm happy to be here.
Great. So would you like to start by introducing yourself to the voters of the district?
Yeah, sure. My name is Wendy Higdon. I have been a Libertarian for about 10 years. I am 41 and I'm a foster parent, I'm a wife, I'm a homeowner. By trade, I'm a surgical tech. Most recently, I was in third shift emergency at a pediatric hospital. So I'm kind of used to dealing with hard situations, tough situations. But I really got in this race because of my foster kids and how they're being treated in the system and in the public education system. So that's kind of my reason for entering this race. And to give people an option because, people need choices. And there's more than just Republicans and Democrats out there. And so I'm standing on my principles and I have something to say, so I'm going to try. So here I am.
That's wonderful. I know that the Libertarian Party of Kentucky has been around for over 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
Recently had their 50th anniversary celebration.
Yeah. And we're, we're all across the country. We almost always have a presidential candidate in the elections. I'm just standing on my own beliefs, and that's what I believe everybody should be doing.
That's great. All right. Well, this is going to be mostly you talking.
And, okay.
I will have a few questions, and then at the end there'll be questions from the audience. So I looked at all the websites of all three candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know kind of what their positions are and a number of things, but it seems to me you have made Jefferson County Public Schools, JCPS,
mm-hmm.
a major point in your campaign.
Yeah.
So you want to talk about JCPS?
Sure. I don't think there is a parent in Jefferson County who's not a little bit upset with Jefferson County public school systems at the moment. And honestly, as taxpayers, I believe they should be upset as well. The $188 million budget deficit because they added one-time funding to their budget, proposing to close schools that are in the most needed areas of Louisville was the solution that they offered up, which to me was just like, it just didn't really make, they first promised that they weren't gonna touch the student experience, they weren't gonna close schools, they were gonna start from the top down. We have a very heavy administration. But from the point of a foster parent and how I've had to deal with the public school system has really changed my opinion, has changed the way that I look at how the schools are operating, how the bureaucracy has kind of taken over, departments of education and their, curriculum and criteria is almost unmanageable. But I believe that if we make it smaller, make it more local, make more representation, more local families involved in like a school board, that capping the student enrollment rates per district is the most common sense way to kind of go about kind of breaking up our huge JCPS system into smaller systems where more people can get involved, more parents can get involved. So that is what I am offering up as my main goal going into legislature, is to write legislation to cap student enrollment levels mm-hmm. per district.
Okay, so is JCPS the largest school district in Kentucky?
Yes, by far.
By far.
Okay. I think we have over 100,000 students
wow.
in JCPS, and the yearly budget for Jefferson County Public Schools is more than the entire city of Louisville's budget.
Wow.
So it just really has become like this bloated system. And then, you know, at the very low level on my end with my foster kids, they are not getting the benefits out of it. If we're going to be spending this much money on public education, we should be getting stellar students out of it, but we're not. We're getting subpar students that can't read or write or do math at grade level.
Hmm.
So something has to change. Something has to give.
Okay.
And clearly the two parties that are in currently have not offered up a solution. So this is what I came up with to kind of make it more manageable
right.
per district.
So if I calculate right, it would split into about five or maybe six?
Yeah, four or five, something like that.
Four or five
yeah.
smaller districts.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and capping the student enrollment level at about 20 or 25,000 students would not affect any other school system except for Lexington or Fayette County.
Uh-huh.
So.
All right. I'm looking to see what the Republican and the Democrat have to say about education. Gary Clemens, the Democrat, has a couple sentences here. Education and job training, he's in favor of strong schools, vocational training, and career pathways. He supports investment in students and adult learners alike to build a thriving workforce at home. Any comments or reactions to
that? Sounds like everybody should be in favor of those things, but in what way are you doing them is the question, right? And
mm-hmm.
I don't know, when you don't put out what your actual opinion is or your policy, nobody really knows where mm-hmm. you stand.
Okay.
But I think, I mean, everybody's, you know, wants to invest in students. Like everybody wants to, you know, have better education and strong schools like we all do. That's, you know, it's pretty generic.
Generic, okay. Calvin Leach, the Republican, on his website, he says, as a graduate student at U of L, education is something he values. He believes it's vital to a functioning society. I would start with school security, he says. We need to have resource officers present in every school every day at all times. We also need to have a security team that is well equipped to respond to incidents of danger. I'm not opposed to having metal detectors. Comments on that?
I mean, I don't even know that I disagree with some of those points, but for that to be the main point that you put out about education is to maybe make the school like a police state is probably not the best way to go about getting these kids engaged into the process so that they want to make their education experience better. I mean, kind of treating them like they're all criminals is probably not the way to grow, you know, young minds.
Yeah. I've been in some schools in the morning when they're checking in kids
yeah.
and there was a full inspection of their backpacks and a search and all that.
I mean, safety is important, and obviously we do have issues, you know, with our kids and the TikTok trends and the, you know, whatever is going on. Yeah, but I mean, I stand by what I said. I don't think making the school a police state is
okay.
necessarily the best way to go.
All right. I neglected to introduce myself. My name is Jeff Young. I'm a member of the Kentucky Party, which is a new party that formed in 2024, had our founding convention in November. And so we're another third party, or a fourth party, chronologically, in addition to the Libertarian Party of Kentucky. I'm excited to see third party candidates, you know, whenever they run.
Yeah.
I'm interested in having more choices. So how about the issue of taxes? You'll be representing the whole state of Kentucky, mm-hmm. as a state senator. Taxes and spending.
Yeah, obviously, as a Libertarian, taxation and spending is like our number one bread and butter deal that we are, you know, have been taxed enough. We get taxed 4 or 5 times on stuff. My policies that I've put out about taxation is that basically you shouldn't be taxed to live as a human being. So your primary home, your primary vehicle, your income, right? And the Republicans in the supermajority right now are decreasing the state income tax in an effort to alleviate it. So that is something that I would join on. But then the policies that, you know, your primary vehicle, your primary home, food, medical care, all that should be tax-free. That, you know, you shouldn't be taxed in order just to live a human life in the United States. You have to have somewhere to live. You have to have transportation. You have to have, you know, like, these are things that you shouldn't be taxed on. And then as far as the spending goes, I know that Governor Beshear has stated that we have a surplus this year, which might be true, but the $68 billion debt does not, you know, the surplus from 1 year does not cover a $68 billion debt that we have currently. So, you know, just efficiency, balanced budgets, not increasing spending at all until you tackle your debt and your deficits that you already have. And then prioritizing the things that we have to pay for, right? We have to pay for education at this point. You have to pay for the Medicare, Medicaid at this point. You know, like prioritizing and making those systems more efficient and making it more local. I believe almost every time more local is better, smaller is better. So that's where I would go in that aspect.
Okay. Let's see, do you have any proposals that would change the criminal justice system in Kentucky?
I don't know if I have specific proposals. This is something that's come across since I've been kind of out and about in this race. This was not on my radar just as a civilian. But the way that, you know, it's been coming across is that, you know, felons are not able to get their rights back once they've served their time. I have had some experience with the foster children in the juvenile justice system, and it has not been a great experience for anybody involved. So I don't know that I have specific legislation, but there definitely needs to be improvements. And then obviously the Libertarian perspective is that victimless crimes, you know, don't deserve jail time. Basically, nonviolent crimes deserve fines and not jail time. And then that would free up a lot of, I mean, there's a lot of counties across the state that can't handle the number of inmates that they have because they're, you know, we're putting people in for like not having car insurance or a marijuana charge or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, putting a burden on those county budgets to have to house that many people. So just overall, the Libertarian point is how I feel also, that victimless crimes, nonviolent crimes should not deserve jail time.
So it would cut down the number of prisoners in Kentucky?
I mean, by a huge percentage.
Okay.
I probably at least 50%. Mm. I don't know. That's just a guess. That's a guess.
Right, right.
But I would guess that a lot of our inmates are there because of, you know, just legislative reasons, not mm-hmm. for violent crimes or
marijuana possession, for example.
For example, yeah.
Do you want to talk about the cannabis issue?
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for, you know, legalization, full recreational legalization. I know that that might not be what everybody thinks, but there's lots of scientific research out there that it is, you know, less dangerous than alcohol, less dangerous than cigarettes. Legal adults can purchase those things whenever they want to. And I mean, we have a huge hemp business in the state of Kentucky. So freeing up those people to make a crop that produces, you know, a sustainable income, it, you know, you're just suppressing the economy, I think. You know, does it need to be regulated? Maybe. But again, overall, the libertarian perspective is less government, the better.
Okay. I noticed that none of the three candidates mentioned the question of what the Kentucky Senate and House, the General Assembly, could do to stop the genocide that Israel and the United States have been committing for more than 2 years against the Palestinians in Gaza. I'm running for the Kentucky House next year from my part of Lexington. And one of my priorities is to introduce legislation that would ensure that no state government funds should be invested in anything that helps the genocide continue that's being committed by Israel with the direct help of the United States. Do you have an opinion on that kind of legislative initiative?
That is interesting, and I haven't been asked that yet, so that wasn't on my radar either. But I mean, again, like the perspective of a true libertarian is no foreign wars, right? We shouldn't be spending our tax dollars fighting wars for other people. We shouldn't be spending our tax dollars, you know, investing in their military or backing their, you know, if it doesn't involve us, that we have our own problems here, right? We should be spending the tax dollars and the hard-earned dollars of the American people on the American people, right, for our systems and our people that need help. So yes, I probably would join an effort to say that no state funding goes to something like that. But I know that, you know, state assembly doesn't have a ton of direct influence on like national policy either. Right. So I don't know if that would be a hot button issue for me.
Okay.
To, you know, that's more important than like our local education and our local taxes. Yeah. And yeah.
Right. I understand. Yeah. All right. So in terms of practicality, if and when you win in November, well, on December 16th, mm-hmm. right? That's coming up real soon. 32 mm-hmm. out of the 38 seats in the Kentucky Senate are Republicans. Five of the 38 are Democrats, and there's this vacancy that we're here. So it's 38-5. The Kentucky House has 80 Republican representatives and 20 Democrats, 4-1 supermajority.
Yeah.
Can you talk about who of the three of you is most likely going to be able to get things done in Frankfurt next year, 2026? You, the Democrat, or the Republican?
I would love to say me. I think I'm going to say me. I'm going to say me because I don't have a party affiliation, right? I don't have a party affiliation that's already in the majority or the minority there. I would be independent. I would be thinking for my community. I would be asking my community how they feel about issues. I wouldn't be beholden to any kind of party lines, party games, party, you know, agendas. But actually could look and think clearly without the pressure of, you know, big government on my back, basically, that I have to stick to my side or else, which is kind of how politics has become. So I'm going to say me, because I would be willing to work with anybody who's willing to work with me. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I mean, politics, like it used to be, had decorum and diplomacy, and, you know, like we could work things out and come up with a solution, and now it's either one side or the other, you're out. And that is not benefiting the American people at all. Mm-hmm. So I think that's my answer to that.
Okay. All right. Well, is there another issue that we haven't covered that you'd like to bring up and talk about?
I mean, my main two really are the public education system. Statewide, obviously, as a state seat, it would be statewide, but Louisville specifically, Jefferson County specifically, is just out of control. It is very unmanageable. So that, and the taxation and the spending is my two top issues. I mean, until we get those kinds of things under control, education rolls into criminal justice reform, right? The less educated our people are, the more apt they are to be in trouble or be, you know, incarcerated. So I think if we fix those two things, it would benefit the people in our state, put more money in their pocket, benefit our economy, help lower the criminal justice rate. You know, like, I think it would overall help our state in the long term. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna stick to my two main issues.
All right. I'd like to open it up at this time to questions from the audience. So, you have one?
Yeah, there were a couple things. You touched on this a couple times with criminal justice and with the SRO, the school resource officer thing. From time to time, our legislature produces an unfunded mandate. There's an edict that mm-hmm. goes out from the legislature to the counties and the state that they have to do such and so, without even the hope of paying for it, without even the thought of paying for mm-hmm. it. You know, I mean, with criminal justice, it's only recently that they're starting to realize that this is a thing that has to be paid for, and they just thought it was free. I assume that as a libertarian, you would not be looking to create unfunded mandates.
But no, yeah.
What would your guidance to the state or to the, what would your attitude be towards the organizations that are legally required to carry out the edicts of the legislature, but are given nothing to do it with? What would your advice be to them? How should they approach that?
Oh, man. Obviously, you're right. I wouldn't vote for unfunded mandates, and that's exactly what's happening to the counties and the criminal justice stuff, right? Like, they're creating laws and legislation that create jail time, but the counties have to deal with housing the prisoners, right, and feeding them, and, you know, like, I think my advice to the people, or to the counties, right, counties, the cities, that would have to deal with unfunded mandates, might be refuse to do it, right? If you can't pay for it, if I can't pay for it, how am I supposed to get this done, right? Like, you're expecting me to get something done without the resources to do it. And actually, as a foster parent, I feel this every day. You know, there, something is expected of you. I'm the one that's dealing with it every day, but the resources for the people that are dealing with it every day are not there. So I think I would say send it back to the state. And, you know, if you can't come up with a way to pay for it, then we cannot do this.
Do you think it would be possible to make it unfunded, to make it illegal across the board to have unfunded mandates? Or do you think that's...
Ooh. Would that require a change to, like, our constitution, like the state constitution, that would... That's interesting.
I don't know
We'll
sure.
have to dive deeper in that at a later time.
I suspect
time.
That it could be done by state law.
Yeah.
But I don't know the answer for
I
sure.
Don't even, yeah, I don't know either.
We have another question. You, sir.
Topic is election reform. Your volunteers... Mm-hmm. As a third-party candidate, had to collect over 100 signatures to get you on the ballot. Democrats and Republicans only have to collect two signatures in any race they run in. The general election, a regular election year, has party primaries that we all have to fund with our tax dollars,
yep.
even though only Democrats and Republicans are allowed in. All these are decisions made in the state legislature. Talk to us about election reform and what needs to be done.
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, that's one of the main reasons that I entered this race also, to give people a choice, because it is so hard to get on a ballot and get access if you're not with the backing of a Republican or Democratic Party. I also used to say that if I ever got back into politics, it would be for fair and equal election reform. So I 100% agree with you. We got about 160 signatures, but they only counted 110. So even though you have to collect 100 signatures, you have to get well above that percentage, because if somebody, you know, does something wrong or puts a date in the wrong spot or anything, they're not counted. And if one party has to do it, then everybody should have to do it. The law should be fair across the board, and anybody who is willing to put themselves out there legitimately and run for office for their community and the people that are around them, then it should be across the board that everybody has fair and equal election access, right? Like, anybody who wants to run should be able to run. And whether that's, you know, the Democrats and Republicans could easily get the signature limit, right? So I don't know which way, if you want just two people to sign for a paperwork, I don't know if I agree with that, though, because it could be the two people in your household. Right? My mom and my brother signed my paperwork, and that means I'm a legitimate candidate, right? That does, I think overall I would probably push it to be like we have, and we have to get signatures. We have to prove that we're willing to go out there and do the work and address the people and talk to them. I mean, the other two candidates in this race obviously are not here today, but I haven't seen them answer a candidate survey. I haven't seen anything specific on their websites about policy or what they agree with or don't agree with. Because if they don't say anything, then they don't have to do anything. They're just the Democrat or the Republican. That's all you need to know. And that's not really fair to everybody involved. So I think I would make it where everybody had to get 100 or 500, whatever it is. Because then you actually have to put yourself out there and prove you're going to be a candidate and talk to your community. I think I'm the only one doing that.
At this time, I mean, there's only one election, this special election on December 16th. So yeah, you're the only one of the three who has done that.
Yeah.
Follow-up question?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Follow-up question. General elections, you have made primaries where all of our tax dollars fund what is a
You said this, yeah.
election, whereas in the Libertarian Party, we use private money in conventions to choose our candidates. How do you feel about all our tax dollars having to pay for their private primaries?
Yeah, no, I have always thought that that was an odd question at the end of my taxes if I wanted to donate to the Republican or Democratic Party. That should absolutely not be. They've also kind of legislated themselves into the position that we're in, where they're the only ones, you know, that have to have two signatures and everybody else is left out. And then as far as like primary elections, just in, you know, as a whole, other states have where you can choose, right? If you don't have a primary, you can choose which one you want to vote in. And I know that they're like, oh, well, then you could just vote for the worst one. I mean, do you not think there's people out there registering for the opposite party so that they can vote for the worst one? Like, that's just freedom, right? That's just freedom for people to go and vote how they choose. So I don't think taxpayer funding should fund primary elections, or if it did, then it should just be a set thing, right? Because there's other countries that do that, where they get so much money and that's all you can spend. That's all you can spend on that election. However you spend it,
so
is
public
however
finance.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Well, the little box at the end of your taxes, that's Kentucky's version of public funding. They consider that public funding.
Yeah.
Well,
if the Libertarian or the Kentucky Party make the cutoff to be a political party, then they will also, you'll get the chance to give them a dollar at the end of your taxes. It's a ridiculous.
It's just weird. Yeah, it's just weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the Democrat definitely has the backing of the full Democratic Party because this is the only election here, and
right.
and that's fine. Mm-hmm. But the people that are voting, I hope can see, you know, that they're not putting out specifics. They're not telling you anything about them because they don't want you to know anything about them. I'm literally putting myself out there. You can look up any of my candidate policies. I've answered every questionnaire. I've answered every survey. And hopefully that is beneficial to me because when people look up the race, they're not going to find anybody else out there. It's going to be me because I'm the only one who's been, like, putting myself out there. So, yeah.
All right. Any other questions from the audience? Do you want to make any concluding remarks, or have you covered it all?
I think I've covered it. I mean, education really is number one for me. Obviously, I'm passionate about foster care, and that just goes with government bureaucracy as a whole, that, you know, the systems are broken. The people are getting left behind, right? The American people are not being put first in almost any situation in government. And that's what we need to get back to, and that's what I'm trying to be, the humble servant that actually cares about their community and the people involved in it.
Okay, thanks. I did think of a follow-up question. You mentioned earlier about a problem with the foster care system that you experienced. Without naming any names or anything, can
yeah.
you say a little bit more about what kind of problem that was?
Oh, with the juvenile justice system?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Juvenile justice.
Yeah. Right. Well, one of my kids ran off one day and came back and basically was charged with assault. But, you know, like the timeline that it took for the police to even show up, right, while she's out there with, you know, God knows what, you know, they got her in the Jefferson County Juvenile Justice Hall is closed. So the Jefferson County place that the juveniles can go to has been closed for a long time. And for a city the size of Louisville to not have a juvenile justice housing place for them, you know, is almost outrageous. So then she got transported overnight to Cincinnati and had to be back at 8 a.m. for court in the morning.
So
they transported her. Yeah, so they transported her to
state.
Yeah, to, well, it's in northern Kentucky, I think, to like Cincinnati area, and then transported her back like an hour later. I mean, it can't even have been that long, you know, like the timeline that it was. And then when I showed up that day, I was the only one who showed up, even though I was still her foster parent, that she's not my legal child. Right? Like, she's not, I have no say or, you know, responsibility, but you know what I mean? Like, but I was the only one who showed up. The social worker has 50, 60 kids. She can't show up the next day to Louisville from 4 hours away because her county was Graves County, almost by Paducah.
Mm.
Like, furthest you could get in the state, it literally takes 3.5 hours. So I was there as a foster parent with no legal, you know, responsibility for this child, making decisions for this child. But then on the other side, there are times that I can't make a decision. I can't make a doctor's appointment for him. I can't make a, you know, like I can't change their school. I can't talk to the school. I can't, you know, like all these things that I can't do. But then on the juvenile justice end, I was expected to be the only one that was there.
Yeah.
It just, you know, like it was a very flawed day in my, you know, like it just was very eye-opening about the entire system and how it was operating and,
okay,
you know.
Well, I think that would give people a much clearer idea
yeah.
of the kind of thing that goes on.
Yeah. I mean, and these kids have trauma and mental health crises, and instead of dealing with them, most of the time they just send them to peace and let them stay for 30 days and let them out again. Like there's no help for them. There's no resources. There's no, you know, anyways. Yeah.
All right,
I could do a TED talk on that for like 5 days.
All right. If there are no more questions, we'll wrap it up. I want to thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Wendy Higdon for showing up today and informing the voters of the 37th District in the State Senate in Louisville. At least one of the candidates, what she believes in and what she's going to do if elected.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks.